what we've done all year. Seriously, I mean, some churches maybe do one or two of those events. Like, you guys rock. And I'm telling you right now, we have such great leaders in this church. I am so blessed with Blessed Feet and all that Blessed Feet's done. And, you know, our worship teams and our youth and crux and children. And I mean, you could just go on and on. What an awesome team. And there's so many great leaders in this church that make all that happen. And you guys are just awesome. You know, I think you get it that our call is to change the world. And as we saw, as we transitioned out of meet and greet, Christmas is over, but now the work of Christmas begins. We celebrated Christ's birth, but we're going to go out and preach Jesus to the world and change the world in our community, as well as missions all over in different countries that we've gone to. We're going to launch our new missions trips for next year pretty soon, and it's going to be just off the charts to see. We're going to change the world. We're not just about way off in the bush. We're about the local and off in the bush. But we can't just be about ourselves and not go and change the world. So it's all part of the whole thing. I'm really excited today just to be able to just see all the different things and to celebrate that. And I can't wait to preach and talk to you about the great things that God has for us this year. I want to just do a little clip. It's kind of cute just to intro my sermon, and then I'm going to preach. So now you can do the first one you started. You were giving it away, man. It was just too good. Don't give that one away. Here we go.
How do we celebrate New Year's?
By staying up all night long.
And we get sparkling cider.
Some people stay up till midnight.
I fell asleep a lot.
What happens at midnight?
The ball in New York City drops.
Everybody's happy. We celebrate.
It's weird when we have to K-I-S-S.
Yes. Gross.
What are your New Year's resolutions?
Have sweets all the time.
A back foot. Change my name to Sparkly.
Every week, a movie night, a game night, and a Gilligan's Island night.
Have lots of time with my grandparents.
I would like to try wasabi.
I like to get a unicorn and bunnies.
What's the thing you want to do most with your life?
Want to be an NFL kicker?
Be the best cellist in the world. And be the best Lego builder in the world.
Going to all the continents.
A missionary.
And when I ride a deer.
Pharmaceutical rep. Because that's what my dad does.
Have like cool bedroom with like cool posters and a hot tub and a ladder in my closet and have like a secret lab.
I want to get married to Kian. It would be a pony wedding with lots of ponies. And have twin girls, Maddie and Madison.
Why is it not good to give up?
Then you'll never achieve what you could.
Even if you have some rough times, you don't give up. You keep going.
Someday you will get it. Don't ever say you can't get it.
If you give up, you might be missing out, because one day you will get it. And it will be really awesome when you do.
How can you help someone to not give up?
Encouraging them, giving them advices for stuff.
Say, you're doing a good job.
I like to hug people and kiss them. And I'll give them a toy.
Then I'll say, I'll be your best friend. So come on, since I can do it, then I will teach you how to do it.
Why does God change us?
Because he loves us.
He loves us so much.
He knows that we need to be changed sometimes, and he wants us to have a better life.
He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to come home to him.
How does God change us?
Puts all the good things in our hearts.
He changes us by giving us something to believe in.
Why is it important to give someone a second chance?
When you're giving someone a second chance, you're trusting them and believing in them.
So that we're like not caught up on something that we've done, we can't really move on.
To have a new beginning.
What would you tell someone who didn't believe God could change them?
That Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
And he can change you because he's Jesus.
Keep praying and he will change you. You will feel it.
Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Awesome. Cool. If I show that to your kids, they're going to ask for a pony wedding with lots of ponies. I like the unicorn bunnies. Yeah. How many know kids know how to dream? And they, even if unicorns don't exist, they're going to believe for unicorns. We're going to have to get some orcs with one horn or something. We're going to have to figure it out. But like, kids know how to dream, and kids can hold on to dreams. There's something really nice about that, is God calls us to be Christ-like. And Father, I pray today that you would take, and I pray today would be a day where if there's any dreams that are dying, that you just resurrect dreams. I pray, God, that you'd give us the ability that, and I give permission in your name to allow everyone to dream and to dream again. And if someone's crushed them, God, that you would just bring healing and release dreams in this house. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to just do a message called A Dream Come True, because dreams really do come true. And if you think about it, what dreams will come true this year that people are just dreaming for, that this is the time of their birth? This is the time. I mean, like, I know just in the natural, if you look around, it's like, who's going to win the Super Bowl? You know, there's a whole bunch of big boys that want to put a Super Bowl ring on their finger, and they're dreaming, you know, is it going to be Bengals? Is it going to be Patriots? Panthers, Cardinals. Yeah. Will it be a wild card, a Bucking Bronco or Packers, or, you know, what's going to happen here? Who will make it in, you know? And all of us can dream. All of us can be a fan, can't we? Can't we just dress up and paint ourselves with team colors and dance around out in the cold? And everybody's like, oh, you rock. Weird, but it's cool, isn't it? They're allowed to dream, you know, and you can be a fan, and it's totally cool if you're a fan in the Super Bowl, but, you know, I just want to ask you, what about being a fan of God? Are you a fan of God? I mean, you wouldn't be in church if you weren't a fan of God. So isn't it okay to be a little crazy and dream if you're a fan of God? Is he going to look and say, you can be more zealous to be a Super Bowl football fan than it would be a fan of God? You know, but like, if you dare do something that might be weird, we're going to like call you weird. It's like, get out. How about being a fan of God? Please don't paint yourself and run around the church like that. But I mean, you can be crazy and run around. I'm like, just saying, you know, don't show up next week and say, Pastor, you gave me permission to paint. Anyway, moving right along. We need to be a fan of God. And, you know, you could bet on God, wouldn't you? What's God's odds in fantasy football? If you could pick God and put God on your team, you got a winning team, don't you? If I said, let's talk about odds, let's make a bet. If you were betting on God's team, don't you think it would be the winning team? I mean, it's pretty easy. There's no risk. But the real question of the day is, you could say, well, I'm on God's team and I'm a fan of God. But do you believe God's a fan of yours? Really? Do you really believe God's a fan of you? Do you really think that God is, see, because this is the issue, is if you don't believe that God's a fan of yours, your dreams have an expiration date. And it's only so long, and, you know, have your dreams died? Are you saying they're not expiration date? They're done, dead, and thrown in the garbage, dead, gone, history, got stomped on, trampled on. Can people really separate you from your dreams? Do people have that right if God gave you the dream? If God gives someone a dream, can man take the dream away from you? Joseph had a dream from God, and man was jealous, and man did a lot, his own family, and people tried to crush his dream because of jealousy, which jealousy's root is fear. Have you stopped dreaming? You know, did security and safety take the place of dreaming? I know security is good and safety is good. And as we get older, as we age, we want those. There's nothing wrong with those things, but they don't get to take the place of dreaming. Can't we do both? Yeah, I think so. And what if the dreams that are inside of you aren't just random? What if God put them there? What if God put those things, and you think, well, this is so hard, it's impossible at my age. Tell that to Moses. Tell that to Timothy. Timothy's too young. Moses is too old. I mean, you could go through the whole Bible. You could, any excuse you can come up with, God's already solved that. And what if the world was groaning because the sons and daughters of God stopped dreaming? In Romans, it says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's not gender. It's sons and daughters of God. But he's looking for the children of God. The earth is groaning, waiting. And for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself was also being delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Who's supposed to liberate the mess? We're not supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to liberate it. For we know that whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And Paul writes this beautiful passage. Romans 8 is just a masterpiece, and he starts talking about, as he comes into Romans, he talks about who we are and our adoption as sons and daughters, and in context to us being sons and daughters and adopted of God and all that, then he comes in and he talks about the liberation and the freedom from corruption. And I'm not just talking about the coming day of the Lord, because of course that's when redemption finds its fullness and all of the earth is redeemed and everything that was corrupt. And there will be a reset button when God puts it all. But until then, we're the ones who get to reveal heaven on earth. It's a privilege. And we get that. And so we do things for God, and we're going to do things for God this year, but we got to keep that in mind and in context. Not just, we just did an event, I can't believe we're going to do something else for God. I can't believe you want us to sow into another nation when our nation needs help. How about the whole world needs help? Hello, are you here? I'll show you the video next week. You know how blessed they were that this pastor raising 7 kids in the bush, and he is faithful. This is an awesome man of God. He's one of the best translators we had. This guy has been faithful. He understands the apostolic position he's in. He is in a bush place, and he is doing a fabulous job with 7 kids without an income, just standing and believing for God for everything. And you guys just blessed him with 2 acres of land, and now he knows the 7 kids are gonna all, he's gonna be able to not only feed them, but you have to pay to educate your kids in Uganda. The free stuff is ridiculous. So just saying, you guys get to change the world, and you've transformed. We Pastor Teresa had a vision that we could, a challenge really, that could we put another tribe before the throne? And we've raised thousands of dollars, put, you know, hundreds and hundreds of talking Bibles into the remote bush in Mozambique to reach a tribe, to reach a people that's going way out in the bush. You guys did that. What are some huge accomplishments, and the work keeps going. You bought land there. You established a missions base. We together have done some amazing things because somebody just had a dream, and then it was birthed by God, and someone dared to say, God, here I am, send me. Sean and Boyana went under the field and accomplished that for a few years. I want to get to our text today for I'm already kind of preaching. I need to open this. The main text today is Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Somebody say amen. Amen. If God is for us, if God's on your team, if you're on the winning team, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And we're thinking about it. Do I start this new business? I feel like God gave me the idea. Do I do it? Do I 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 do? Are you here? You know, should I step out and believe for this new job? Should I really get, we want to have a baby and we just believe it's God, but I don't know if we can afford it right now. I mean, just take it all the way across from all the different dreams and visions and ministry. I really want to minister, but I don't know how I'll have the strength and energy. How about if God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes down in that Romans text, down in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, this is a question for this year, shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it's written, for your sake, we're like we are killed all day long and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. If you serve God and do things for God, you get persecuted, but whatever, if God be for us, who can be against us? You can't kill somebody who has eternal life. The body may die, but we live for eternity in heaven. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful passage. Man, what about the dreams that never come true? What about the dreams that never come to pass? What about the sidelined Christians, the shipwrecked in their faith? What about ministry plans? What about vision that's derailed? These are all the what if dreams that God put in people's hearts who say, what if I did, what if this really happened? And they turn sometimes when they're derailed to the if I'd onlys, if I only had. One of the saddest stories in the Bible is hidden in Jeremiah 46:17, where one of the pharaohs in the 26th dynasty of Egypt, it says this, Jeremiah wrote this. He said, give the king of Egypt a new name, noisy braggart who missed his chance. The NIV version says, the man who missed his moment. How would you like to be known in history as the pharaoh that missed his moment? It's like, whoa. And I know we're talking about a pharaoh, but it's like, you can look at the Bible. This guy didn't just go to his tomb with a few. He went to his tomb with huge regrets. He had a whole bunch of if onlys instead of what ifs. He only ruled 19 years and, you know, he didn't really accomplish much. See, our what if dreams have to be acted on. And that's why Jesus talks about those. We can believe in his word, but those who act upon his word. And he talks about it. There's always going to be storms. There's always going to be floods arising. But those who act upon my word will be those who are founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. That's a good place to say amen. So number one, I want to talk about what ifs. Romans 8:31, what ifs. Should they say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's the best Christmas present we have is God in us, Emmanuel. Christ was born. God gave us a present. And what he said and what the name he gave him is really important because Emmanuel, God in us, God with us is powerful because God is in us. God is with us. And if God is with us, then who can be against us? If I'm on God's team, what do I have to worry? The what ifs, God has placed dreams inside you so they can be fulfilled. See, the God dream, I get it that we've had dreams that weren't of God. Before I was saved, I had goals or dreams or however you want to call them, but and they weren't of God. But there's dreams that I have that are of God. Are you with me? Those God dreams inside of you, he put them inside of you. And what if God placed a dream in you and placed you around people who could help you fulfill your dream? What would be the strategy of the devil if that was true? What would he have to do to get you to derail you from your dream? Just get you away from those people. If the winning team was there and God put you on the team and then the devil, what would he do? He'd just try to get you off the winning team. What if you're around great people not to get jealous and to get intimidated and to look at how come this person prays better and that person dreams better, that person preaches better, that person's smarter, that person's faster, that person's stronger, that person, whatever. What if the great people that God puts you around is not so that you can get jealous, which is really a root of fear, but it's to partner with people so you can fulfill your dreams? What if those people are to strengthen you so that you can even to develop in areas where you're weak? What if everything that we rejected about God wasn't even God? Because a lot of the stuff I rejected about God wasn't God. Before I was saved, we used to go down the street and I'd look in the window at these Protestant churches dancing around with funky dresses and tambourines. And when I looked at it, I was like, that's some messed up stuff. these people, you know, and I'm sorry if you did that in the day, it might have been contemporary in the day. I wasn't saved. But I looked in the thing and we kind of mocked it. And I thought, you know, and I was raised in a religion, but I wasn't born again. I mocked it because the thing I didn't like was religion, not God. See, the thing I didn't like was, and some people say, well, what about hypocrisy? What about this? What about, you can name all this stuff and God gets the rap for a lot of stuff God didn't do. And most of the stuff people talk about, God, what about the people who are dying? What, as if the new covenant God we serve is out there with a magnifying glass killing people? Hello, are you here? Our God, you know, well, look what he did in the Old Testament. I don't serve the God of the Old Testament. I have a new covenant. Let's talk about the new covenant. Let's talk about what the covenant God has with us, not what he had back there. Are you here? Well, he's the same God. We're in a new dispensation. So our concept and what we think of God, because God's on our team, is really, really important on how and what we're going to fulfill this year. And I guarantee you that while everything God puts inside of us, with that, the devil has a strategy to try to come against your team. You and God, your God team. Can I help you with that one? Okay? If God is for you, I'll bet money the devil's going to play the card on you that God is not really for you or with you. And that God's not really with your team. Look at the very first, in the very beginning, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said?" And I guarantee you, when it comes to dreams, the devil's going to come at you and say, "Did God really give you a dream? Did he really give that to you? Can you really accomplish that? Is that really going to happen? Is that really doable?" And the devil will try to use the same strategy that he used on Adam and Eve in the very beginning, because it's a winning strategy for him. It's like a play in the playbook that keeps playing for thousands of years. So we got to get it and say, "I didn't get the devil's playbook. I'm going to learn this one, and I'm not biting into that apple." Hello. Because Eve bit into that apple. So did Adam. And that lie is something that once you get it in your mouth, it really taints everything. Even the things God said, you see them differently. I'm not trying to bum you out. I'm trying to equip you. If you could sit down and watch the playbook of the opposing team before the game, you have a definite advantage, don't you? So I'm just going through some of these things. I want to help you. I want you to fulfill your dreams. These two social psychologists did a study on regrets. Short term shows that 53% of people regret actions more than inactions. Yet in the long term, do you get that? So more 53%, the majority of people in the short term, they regret the things they did. But in long term, only 16% regretted actions compared to a whopping 84% regret inactions. That means when you get closer towards the end of your life, 84% of people regretted what they didn't do. Don't go there. Say, "Too late, I've already gone." No, it's never too late. Come on now. All things are possible with God. Go for your dreams. Righteousness is more than just not doing what's wrong. It's about doing our dreams. It's about taking a chance. It's about risk. It's about believing God's on our side and just stepping out on those God opportunities. And we get to shape history. We get to change history. We get to turn things. I mean, think about history itself. What if that musket ball that went through Washington's garment in 1775, it went through his garment, how would 1776 been different if George Washington would have went down? What if D-Day invasion from the Allied forces on June 6, 1944 had failed to stop the Nazi regime? Come on. We got to give it up for those who stood. History's been shaped by people who said nobody could stop them, and yet he was stopped. They were stopped. What if the Confederates would have won the battle at Gettysburg? What if David failed to hit Goliath and the stone missed his forehead and he just ticked off a big giant coming at him? What if Esther wouldn't have fasted? Teresa said, fasting, literally, every breakthrough we can attribute to Summit's history-changing moments have come out of times of fasting. Why not fast this year? We got 21 days to, like, let's Esther this whole thing. Come on now. Are you here? I'm not talking a holy diet. I'm talking about fasting and prayer. I'm talking about fasting that leads to favor. I'm talking about, there's a whole history of what ifs. What if Joseph wouldn't have, like, heeded the angel? We went through this a few weeks ago. What if these what if moments became these tipping points that became the turning points? It becomes the times where history gets changed, where history's written, where you get to be history makers. And sometimes you didn't even know that you made history. Do you think the woman washing Jesus' feet and crying thought that Jesus would say this will be said of her through all of, you know, where the Bible's written? Do you think she even thought she'd make the canon? Do you even think some people did things they had no idea they were going to change history or be talked about through all history? They just acted on what the thing that is that they thought God put in me, I just need to get. If I just get near him and touch his garment, and how many people have been healed of the story of the woman who touched his garment? She wasn't going like, I'm going to get history and they're going to, do you got me? Do you got to get, let me get a selfie. No one's paying attention. Ta-cha. Let me grab it. Boom. Cha. No, man, just follow your dream. You know, get faith. It's a substance. When you get it, act on it. Go with it. Go for it. Watch what God does. He'll change history. He'll shift it. Because I'm not just talking about these things. The what ifs aren't just about what happened in the past. What about history that hasn't been made? What history will be made in this 2016? I believe it's going to be greater than any year that we've ever had. You say, well, you say that every year. Well, doesn't God say that? Huh? What are we going to believe? The devil who says you'll never do it? Or are you going to believe God who says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Who does say we go to glory to glory? I'm going to believe God. It's going to be even greater. Well, what if you and your dreams were unstoppable? Hwah, somebody. Come on. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who's able. Come on, we need to get this. To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. What if you fulfill your dreams and you died and your dream lives on and your work continues? That's the kind of dream I'll have. I was just talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about this and that and the other thing, and about what some people say, and I said, I've been here decades, and my goal isn't to see what I've done in the past. It's when I die someday and watch the young Taylors and Emilys and you know, these younger people who will take it farther, and the dream that goes on, the nations that are reached when I'm looking down from heaven in that cloud of witnesses, cheering on everyone else. I still got some decades in me. I ain't going nowhere, people. Not right now. But what I'm talking about is my greatest moment isn't even while I'm standing on this earth. It's what happens when I leave. It's about the legacy that goes on. And you say, well, you know, that's a nice wish. No, it's Bible. Ephesians 3:20. He says, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Look at the next verse. To him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Can I tell you right now, not all churches are a generational church. And it's a whole lot easier to do a church that's one generation than a multi-generational church. The biggest challenge in the church is multiple generations. Because one generation wants the music turned down, one generation wants the music turned up. One generation wants a lot of lights, and one generation says, they bug me. One generation wants it like this, another generation wants it like that. One generation is dogmatic, the other one, they want to think out of the box. One generation, multi-generations, that can mess up a church service. That could mess up your church growth plan. That could cause a little tugging war, steering wheel fight over who gets the steering wheel. Are you here? But a multi-generational church is what God's called to come onto the scene. Because a church's shelf life is 15 years, and a one-generational church will last 15 years. I haven't left church for 30 years. I think we've made it two shifts. I got at least another shift before I pass a baton off. Even more than that. Hello, are you here? There's something to multi-generationals. And I'll tell you right now, all the worship we played on the stage today, before I die, it's all going to be like so old school. It's like, oh, we played that? It's going to be old school. Come on, worship leaders over here. Isn't it going to be old school? It'll be like gone, won't it? It's like, those are so old, you know? But isn't that cool? And we can either hang on to those, or we can keep letting the next generation and keep dreaming and keep passing on the baton. And then looking at them and going, you know, these saggy pants people, now they're the tight jean people. Now they're the, I don't know what to believe of this generation. These guys' pants are falling off. These people look like they're getting strangled. I don't know how they can walk. It's like, whatever God brings, the key is that, are we willing to let the next generation dream? Are we willing to pass a baton and say, I'm going to cheer them on? See, you come to church and you just go, well, it's all about me. How about multiple generations? If you think like God thinks, you'd change the way you look at church. You got many teachers, but not many fathers. Isn't that what Paul said? What's a father and a mother do? I'm not just talking gender. What's a father and a mother do? They bless, they cheer on, and they cheer on the next generation. If you come here and you just are a father in the faith by now, you need to be doing something. If you're not doing something, you're going to get frustrated that you're not steering the steering wheel. Before long, you'll be like, forget this, pastor. Get busy doing the work. A whole bunch of disciples need to be discipled. A whole bunch of people waiting to be cheered on. And if you're a child, then you're a child in the Lord. And we need to raise them up and train them up in the way they should go. If you're a teenager in Christianity, you're learning and developing, and you should be getting mentored. If you're a mother or a father in the faith, you should be mothering and fathering around here. There's not enough connect groups. Where's the mothers and fathers to lead them? There's not enough department leaders. Where's the mothers and fathers to lead them? There's not enough children's leaders. Where's the mothers and fathers to lead them? If the church is lacking, it's because maybe mothers and fathers drop the ball when we need to pick up the ball. Yes. And I think part of the core is if we stop dreaming because we stop believing it's going to happen. Well, I tried to do that ministry and I just got my teeth kicked in spiritually. I'm just out of breath. It was terrible. Find another one. Got all kinds of departments. See, we've got to believe that God's going to do it. And if Taylor does something great and awesome and I disciple Taylor, when I'm in heaven, God still looks and says, that's your seed. He's not even your bloodline. He's not even your, how could you even say that? He's my spiritual son. If I do anything that blesses him and I sow into him and he achieves it, don't you think in heaven God looks at that and marks that down as part of your achievement? I'm not trying to get brownie points. I'm just saying God sees you, mothers and fathers, engage with the generation, disciple the generation, get active, start dreaming. There's no retirement in God. There's no, I'm too busy for God. Tell God I'm too busy to serve you at church at some point. I'm too busy for your plan to change the world. But missions is his plan. You know what? The church, all of those things are birthed out of. It's God's plan. And we get the privilege to be a part of it. And those of you who caught it, it's like, OMG. Tao's going to be like, look how many people go, you know what? Pastor Tao sowed into us. And are you here? We get that. What a privilege. The thing I love about God is God sees multiple generations. And the second point is, what if I'm persuaded? The end of this text is so masterful at the end. And in verse 31, he says, what then shall I say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? And at the end of the text, in verse 38, he says this, for I am persuaded. When I'm persuaded God is for me, what happens? My what ifs, the dream comes true. When I'm persuaded, I like that scene in Lord of the Rings when the guy tells the dwarf, we're going into the orcs. We're going to go up against a whole army through the black gates and the trolls and the this and the that, and we probably will die. Sudden, infinite death or whatever he said. What are we waiting for? And it sounded like he was going to go, well, what are you talking about? Against all odds and we're going to die. And he's like, you think he's going to back down? He's like, let's go. I'm like, I like that guy. I need a bunch of those dwarves in my church. Huh? You can't do that. Ah, we got Ghiblis. Ah. Who said we can't? God's on our team. Do some fantasy dream team this year with God. Put him on your team. But if you don't believe God's for you, because we come to church and the majority of Christians believe it, they're fans of God. And they come and they cheer and they, but guess what? God's, he's your fan. If you really believe God is for you and God's on your team, you'll believe he's your fan. He's in heaven cheering you on. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But do we believe it? Are we believing believers? Are we persuaded? See, Paul was persuaded. He said, for I'm persuaded, neither death nor life. And we love the passage, but we got to catch that. And it's a simple sermon, but I guarantee you it'll change your whole year. It'll change your life. It'll change eternity. Paul was persuaded. If we get the first part, that God is for us, then we'll get persuaded. If we don't get the first part, that if God is for us, who can be against us? When we face all of that stuff, that's when we want to give up. That's when we want to just say, I can't take this anymore because I've been tested and pressed on every side. And it seems like my dream's so distant. And yet he said in verse 37, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors, because there's a bunch of things that come up. And the way that we maneuver through those things is we know that God loves us. And that he's on our team and he's for us and he's our fan. And if we know that God is for us, even if I go through that, God loves me. I'm his kid. There's definitely ready. There's a comeback coming, you know. My trial is not, it's just, I'm just getting a little bit, it's going to be a greater comeback than ever. Are you with me? Because if God's for us, and it's not just about we're this more than conquerors because we can be bold and brass. It's about, do you really believe you're a son and daughter of God? Do you really believe that God is for you? Do you really believe God's your fan? And when you do, you know the love of God, because God loves his kids. And when I know God loves me, and Paul knew God loved him, he knew he loved him when he was in jail. That's how he wrote what he wrote. He knew he loved him when he was stoned, when he was shipwrecked, when he was bitten by a snake. He knew God loved him. And he was writing for us something that we could take into this year and change our year. Beautiful chapter in Romans 8. We are. And even as he leads into it, he talks about our adoption. We're adopted in God's family. If we can grab that and take that into our year, your year is going to be different. Amen? A few practicals just to throw at you. One, write down your God dreams. Just get them out of your head. Put them on paper. Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Vision is for an appointed time. If you don't write it down, it's really hard to go anywhere with it, and it's easier for the devil to steal it. Sometimes you need to read it yourself, back to yourself, I mean. And so one, write it down. Two, share them with someone you trust. Share your dreams. Make them public. Let it out, get out there. And sometimes we're afraid because we read the Joseph story, and we're afraid people will laugh at our dreams. Go to people who love you. They won't laugh. They'll support you and surround you. Next one, talk about it to your spiritual leader. If you have a dream to do something in worship, go talk to Pastor Andrew or Pastor Matt. Talk to a spiritual leader. If you say, I believe I'm supposed to be a pastor, well, talk to Dan O'Dash about being a Connect Group leader. You start by pastoring 10, not right onto a pulpit where you have hundreds. Talk to a spiritual leader and say, this is what I believe. This is a dream. And he'll go, well, this is how you do that. You go in and you become an apprentice in another group. They let you teach once a month. You go through this training. We have this training, and once you're faithful there, then you get released, then you get a group, then you start there, you're faithful with that group, and that's how you get. Are you with me? You know, tell your spiritual leader, tell someone, and so they can encourage you. Tell a father and a mother who can cheer you on. And next one is evaluate your goals for this year. And I want to ask you, are the goals you're setting for this year, do they flow out of your God dreams? So if you have these dreams and you say, here's my vision, here's my dreams, here's my mission, whatever you want to call it, when you write that down and then you say, what goals, what am I going to do? What are the practical things I'm going to do with my life? How will I invest my life in 2016? Do they get you closer to those dreams? Do they get you closer to those goals? I don't care how close, I'm just saying closer, one step, two step, five steps. Do they match at all? If they don't match, then there's a problem, but they need to be connected. And the next one is, and this is the last one I'll give you as we close service. When you find yourself acting in fear, speaking in fear, acting in fear, responding in fear, backing down in fear, I want you to ask yourself who's on your team. I just want you to just go back to that point and just say, Am I really believing that God is with me and God is for me? Am I really believing that God's my fan? Am I really believing that God's just preparing my comeback? Am I really believing that I'm going through it and I have my setback? I'm in the midst of a setback, but God's preparing my comeback. Are you here? In the midst of your setback, if you believe God's on your team and God's your fan, then you know, God, I'm going to call up to the booth. I need to play because I feel like I have a setback. I'm going back in yardage. I've gone back in my vision, dreams, ministry. But I'm believing you're preparing my comeback right now, God, because you're on my team. We got a higher booth than the radio and the football team. Are you here? And that fasting and prayer helps us reset that button. And then we can believe, that's right, I don't care. God's preparing it. This is just going to be a 100-yard run instead of a 20. Are you with me? So, a few practicals. And the next one is just never forget that you serve the God of a new covenant. Don't get stuck on Job. Oh, I'm going through this because I'm like Job. No. You're a son and daughter of God. You have a new covenant. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Not that he left and forsaked him. Are you here? Believe that God is good. Believe that God's on your team. Believe God's your fan. And follow your God dreams. Would you stand with me today? Hope you got something good out of that. Come on, let's give it up for all of those who served this whole last year. Everyone that was on that screen, every department, every achievement, everything that you saw. Oh, it even goes deeper because everyone who's sowed into a ministry that has momentum. You know, Rob and Eileen are at Mission Church, but they sowed into this ministry. And as this ministry is successful, then that's part of their sowing and developing. As people come in and as people move because God's moved them towards their God dream, you still were part of something God started. That's still a victory that goes on. We don't see it all here, but we'll see it in heaven. Are you with me? Yeah, there's people that have helped send people onto the mission field that have never stepped out there, but you sent them out there, and every one of those souls and all that ministry we've planted churches and changed whole tribes and done incredible things is because you sowed into that, because you're a part of it, because God has a team and he's teaming up with you, but he also has teams, and each of those teams, whether it's Summit Church or whatever church, you're on a winning team. Because God's the leader and God's the master. He's the chief. He's the chief shepherd. I'm just an under shepherd under him. And I give him all the glory and the honor for the privilege to pastor such wonderful people. Would you lift your hands today? God, empower them to fulfill their God dream. I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that inside they just say, today's the day, and I just believe you right now. God, I believe in you. And if you're here and you say, well, I need to believe in him, just say, God, forgive me right now. That's it. Just say, forgive my sins. Right now, I yield to you. Come on, you can talk. Everyone all around the room, would you just say, God, forgive my sins? Believers, and if you came in and you're almost a believer, you still say, God, forgive my sins. Because I believe in Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you right now, God believes in you. And I give you permission to dream again. I give you permission because God is on your team. I just release those visions and I just tear down. I pray, God, that you supernaturally would just pull out the pain that stopped people from dreaming. I pray that you'd take away hesitation, that you'd move the muscle memory of all pain that stops us from acting the way you've called us to act and reacting according to man instead of to God. I pray, God, for supernatural endurance. And I pray, God, for those dreams and visions to come and to be fulfilled. I pray, God, that even if it's not fulfilled, even as a player that never made the Super Bowl but made it as a coach, I pray today that you'd just put coaches in play. I pray that they would see the ring still goes to the coach and the player as well. And that you're never too old to coach. If you're a mother and father, be a mother and a father. Step up, take a step up and release your dream to others. Let them go farther than you ever could have gone. I just pray and release you and bless you. And I pray, God, that you breathe on them, because they have to be from you and they have to be in your anointing to be fulfilled. And I know your Holy Spirit's in this room. I pray that you do miracles, God, in our lives. I pray this is the greatest year we've ever seen. I pray, Father, that you breathe on businesses that need a fresh dream in their business. I pray that you breathe on those that feel stuck in their occupation. I pray that you breathe on families where they feel like they hit a wall. I pray that you breathe on the singles that are just believing, God, for all of the above. I pray, God, that you just breathe on those in ministry who need to step into what you've called them to. I pray for the anointing and the power of God to fulfill it. But I pray, God, that they never let go of the dream. And I pray they leave here with a little more faith to possess the thing that you've placed in them. And I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Be blessed. Hey, listen, there's a team up here that'll pray for you. If you ask Jesus to forgive you for the first time, come on up and let them pray for you. And if you need prayer for healing, let them pray for you. God bless you. We will see you next week.